Are you ready? Are you ready to take massive action towards building a life and lifestyle that rewards you with a fit body, endless supplies of mental and physical energy, and total freedom from guilt around food and exercise? This is Cut the Fat Podcast. It's Dr. Ray Hines, joined here with Blythe Wagner. Hey, Blythe.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another Cut the Fat podcast. I hope everyone is having a fantastic day.
I do as well. And today's topic is one that we get a lot of questions about. So,
yes.
Well, pretty much all our topics are ones that we get a lot of questions about, right? But this one's just one that seems to be really, you're hearing a lot about in the news and in the, you're seeing a lot of people blog about. And it's intermittent fasting. So today's topic is six benefits of intermittent fasting that that really make it a very useful tool for a lot of people in their weight loss journey. And I say a lot of people, not everybody, and we'll kind of get to that towards the end. But for now, let's just assume that there is benefit to intermittent fasting, and we're going to talk about those six main benefits of why it might be a tool that you want to experiment with and see if it helps you to achieve your goals.
Right. I think this podcast kind of fine-tunes a lot of the questions that pop up regarding intermittent fasting, and I think we address those in our little outline here. So I'm looking forward to this one. It's a good one.
All right. So let's do it. So there are many ways that that you can do intermittent fasting. Well, first, I guess we should say, what exactly is intermittent fasting? In a sense.
Well, it involves short-term fasts that are performed intermittently as opposed to like day in and day out. Or I guess you could also say it's dieting, but with a plan and control. And by dieting, I just mean paying attention. So fasting means that you're going a certain amount of time without eating. So you have to pay attention to the times that you're eating or not eating, and be aware that you are eating, quote unquote, normally during the time that you're not fasting.
So intermittent fasting basically is just, like you said, it's not eating, and it's not like regular conventional dieting, because
right.
There's this idea that, well, you know, a calorie deficit is a calorie deficit is a calorie deficit. And when we say classic dieting, what we're talking about is really cutting calories back each and every day by just eating a little bit less here, a little bit less here, a little bit less here during the course of the day. Intermittent fasting says that the way you get the calorie deficit is by just not eating altogether. And just that could be 16 hours, it could be 24 hours, it could be 36 hours or 48 hours. But you're basically just not eating anything during that time. And the other side of that is that it's not every single day, because that's not intermittent fasting. That is starving yourself.
Right.
So the reason intermittent fasting appears to work is because it's intermittent, because, you know, it may be twice a week or three times a week. And like I said, there are many ways that you can do intermittent fasting. One good example is the twice a week, 24-hour fast that was made famous by the Eat, Stop, Eat approach. Mm-hmm. The second approach that's very common is the 16-hour fast, or some call it the 16-8 approach, which is 16 hours of fasting, 8 hours where you incorporate normal, regular eating.
And that's fairly simple to do. Sorry, let me just interject. Yeah. That's fairly simple to do if you stop eating at like 7 or 8 p.m. and then you go through until lunch the next day. So you're fasted while you're sleeping, and then you skip your breakfast in the morning. That's fairly easy for most people to do.
Right. You have a very common way of doing that is just eat dinner and then just don't eat anything until lunch the next day. So you get that full 16 hours where your body has a total break from food. And, you know, there are some people who do that day in and day out. and have found that to be effective. Other people just like to do it intermittently, where they may do it 3 or 4 times a week, and that's successful for them, and that allows them to achieve the deficit that they need to be able to burn the fat and do it in a way that's healthy for the body and metabolism. The third approach is the 5-2 approach. This is the twice a week you eat 500 to 600 calories on fasting days, because fasting does not necessarily mean that you're totally skipping out on food. This is a good approach on people who get ravenously hungry when they do fasting. In this approach, you can eat 500 to 600 calories a day, and that's really, truly healthy food. We're not talking about 500 to 600 calories of Twinkies.
Right.
And then on the other days, you eat normally. So it's 2 days of 500 to 600 calories, and then it's 5 days of normal eating, you know, hopefully in a low glycemic fashion.
Right. Okay.
And then you've got the alternate day fasting, which is simple. You fast. You don't eat for, you know, for 24 hours, and then the next day you do eat. And then you don't eat for 24 hours, and then the next day you do eat. Or it could be 16 hours. You could do the 16-8 on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the normal eating on the other days. So that's alternate day fasting.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you've got to figure out what works for you, what is going to fit into your lifestyle. And that's why there are all these different types of approaches, because you can try them based on what your lifestyle is like.
And what you can tolerate. You know, not everybody can tolerate a 24-hour total fast. They might be able to do 16, but not 24 hours.
Well, so they might be able to tolerate it, but not without a binge at the end. So it might be something you white-knuckle your way through, right? Mm. But we don't want you doing that.
And we're gonna talk about that, too. And then the final one that I'll bring up here is kind of this was an approach that's kind of modeled after the 16-8 approach, the 16-hour fast. This is the exercise while fasted a program that we've talked about in the past, and that's as simple as just fasting from dinner through lunch the next day, and somewhere between waking and lunchtime you do some sort of exercise or activity, and that adds to the benefit of fasting. So there are more, believe it or not, but those are some very common approaches to fasting. Any of them can be helpful and effective for you. It's just a matter of doing a little bit of trial and error and seeing what fits your life.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, the next thing is, you know, can fasting work for people? You know, you and I have experienced the benefits of fasting first and secondhand, right? We have some of our clients in the 60-day challenge that do fasting as an approach and have found it to be quite effective.
Right. Yes. Some of our long-term people who have been in the challenge for maybe a second or third time are finding that it's something that kind of catches on, and they're able to fit that into their lifestyle, and it becomes a routine, and it works, and it's something that they can implement. And as they continue on their journey outside the challenge, it's something that they can utilize. It's a tool that they can hold on to, and it becomes more simple and more easy as time goes by.
Yeah. And effective. It can be very effective.
And you know, effective, yes.
The
and
research
it continues
suggests,
to work.
Yeah, the research suggests that you can lose between 0.5 pound and 1.65 pounds per week doing intermittent fasting, with most of that coming from fat and not muscle, which is one of the things we're going to talk about as we get into the benefits. This other
That's
benefit is that it seems
Isn't
to
it,
whittle
right?
away at belly fat, right? It seems to really attack that belly fat region as well. So with research suggesting it can decrease waist circumference between 4% and 7% during the course of a study. So it's certainly an approach that we need to take seriously. You know, a lot of people, especially early on when fasting started to get some steam, they started looking at it and saying, oh, that's just dieting, right? Isn't that what it is? That's just dieting. But there is a big difference metabolically between not eating anything and eating small amounts of food 3-4 times a day. A big difference.
Right. And so there are theories out there that say you must eat 6 meals a day, and that, you know, that's the way bodybuilders do it. But you have to remember that people who are exercising or working out 2 or 3 times a day, perhaps getting ready for a bodybuilding show, it completely controls your life, and you are kind of caught in this vicious cycle of all you do is eat and exercise. And that doesn't work for most people. So I suggest that people explore intermittent fasting because, you know, the myth of, you know, going 6 hours without a meal is going to put you into starvation mode just isn't true. You know, it's 48 hours before your body recognizes that you've gone without food. And most people can't do a 2-day fast or don't want to.
Right. I've tried it. It's tough.
Yeah, and, don't need to.
Right. Well, let's get into some of the benefits, and then, you know, we'll kind of circle back to some of the things that people do or don't do correctly that may impact how successful they are with fasting. So benefit number one is an obvious one, but it's not one that we can take lightly. It's the fact that that fasting reduces calories. So when you're not eating for 24 hours twice a week, as an example, this will oftentimes equate to a cutting of the calories equal to what we would get from a 500 calorie deficit per day, 7 days a week, right? So if you just don't eat for 24 hours twice a week, you can oftentimes achieve a calorie deficit similar to if you dieted by cutting 500 calories out of your diet each and every day. And I'll add as the side note is, it doesn't result in the downgrade in metabolism that regular conventional dieting causes. You know, so if you were to do a 500 calorie deficit every day and just live that way, oftentimes the metabolism will downgrade itself in order to account for those 500 calories. But with fasting, it doesn't appear to happen.
Because it's intermittent. And I think this is a huge golden nugget. It's almost like we're tricking our bodies into, oh, okay, well, I ate normally on Monday. So Tuesday, I'm going to continue to the body's thinking it's going to continue to operate the same. And then you might have a fast. And by the time your body catches on, it's Wednesday and you're eating normally again.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's you do difference. Get a reduction in calorie intake that's equivalent to a 7-day reduction fasting just twice a week. So that is one benefit. And all weight loss ultimately comes down to a calorie deficit one way or the other, where we kind of separate our own thinking from the thinking of a lot of kind of quote-unquote diet experts out there, is it's not all about the calorie deficit, because for the most part, people can't stick to a classic standard calorie deficit. And
it just becomes too uncomfortable. It's too difficult.
It becomes too uncomfortable. It becomes, you have to constantly white-knuckle yourself around food. Believe it or not, when you're fasting, we're going to talk about this shortly, but when you're fasting, it's easier than when you're dieting, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But anyway, let's go to benefit number two.
Okay. Benefit number two is calorie deficit without lowering your metabolism, which we just mentioned. At least two studies have found that fasting for 48 hours led to an increase in metabolism between 3.6 and 14%. Fasting longer than 48 hours can lead to a suppression. So your metabolism starts to slow down if you go beyond 48 hours. But like we mentioned, there's no need to go that long.
Nor can most people do that consistently anyway.
And, right, or nor do we want you to do that.
Right. Well, I'll say this. There is benefit to fasting beyond 48 hours for other reasons, but not for weight loss. So there can be anti-aging benefits associated with fasting for more than 2 days, up to 3 days. But that's a discussion for a totally different show, perhaps even a totally different podcast. But for weight loss purposes, once you go above that 48 hours, you start running the risk of slowing down the metabolism and or sending alarm signals to the body that you don't want to send. But for the most part, nobody who's listening is going to do that. They're going to stick to 16 and 24 hour fasts and potentially maybe 36 hour fasts on occasion. But 48 hours, I think, is a good kind of cutoff for fasting, because if you stick to this rule, you don't have to worry about lowering your metabolism. A lot of people think that if I fast for 24 or 48 hours, my metabolism's going to slow down, because a lot of people are reporting that. We've probably reported on that in the past as well.
Yes.
We've been doing this podcast for a long time, and over time things change. And what we now know is that, in fact, as the new research comes to light, you know, that 48 hours without any food, your metabolism actually kicks up. You know, and the way I like to think about that is I like to think about that as the body giving you the energy you need to go and find food, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. Foraging. I mean, if you think right. back to the Paleolithic days, you know, we're cave people. You know, you sometimes go 2 days without meal. I mean, one of the shows that my family loves to watch is Naked and Afraid. And, you know, you see these people that can make it 2, 3, 4 days without finding any food. And by the end of the 21-day challenge or whatever it is, they end up losing 20 pounds or whatever. And you can tell that they're leaning out. Now, they're probably losing muscle mass as well because they're going, you know, several days in several stints, you know, a few times throughout the challenge. But it's interesting that we're recognizing how our metabolism doesn't shut down or slow down or catch on even after 48 hours.
Right. All right. So benefit number three is better hormone balance. You know, we know a lot about how fasting impacts the body in a positive way. And one such way is in increasing growth hormone production, decreasing insulin, and optimizing norepinephrine. So let's kind of explain what each of those, you know, why each of those hormonal changes benefit our weight loss efforts. First, okay. fasting lowers insulin. When we lower insulin, it's simple. We store less fat. And so that's one benefit. When we raise growth hormone, we burn more fat and we repair and regenerate the tissues more quickly. So you can generally recover from exercise and end up exercising and moving more throughout the day simply because you have more growth hormone. Plus you feel great. You feel energetic. You feel yes. better when your growth hormone levels are normalized.
And you sleep better. You're more rested, even if it's only 7 hours of sleep that you get and you're used to getting 8. If your hormone levels are in check or your growth hormone levels are in check, you feel like you're rested when you wake up.
Right. And then finally, norepinephrine, which is the neurotransmitter equivalent of adrenaline, sends signals to the fat cells to burn fat. So you get that additional benefit. So those are all things that happen if you fast up to that 48-hour window.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Benefit number four?
Yes.
Calorie deficit with minimal muscle loss. And this is the goal for everybody, you know. We're not looking to burn away muscle tissue. We're looking to burn body fat. And in an ideal world, we would only lose body fat and not muscle tissue. But, you know, sometimes when we've got a lot of weight to lose, we're going to sacrifice a little bit of muscle tissue and hopefully target the body fat. You know, really, really intermittent fasting is something that will help you focus on losing the body fat with taking as minimal muscle as possible while losing weight. So studies on classic dieting have reported up to 25% muscle loss during standard calorie deficit. And this is in a classic type of diet. Studies of intermittent fasting have shown that weight loss with just a 10% loss in muscle mass and still accessing and losing and burning body fat.
So it's so important because we know that when people lose weight, their metabolisms have a tendency to slow down. That's a natural process that occurs with weight loss. And when that happens, and by the way, that also counteracts this idea that I have a slow metabolism. Slow metabolisms mm-hmm. are fairly rare. People who are overweight have a tendency to have a fast metabolism because the body's trying to get rid of some of that excess. So as you lose weight, the body says, well, we don't need to get rid of the extra, you know, body fat. So let's just slow things down a little bit. Muscle loss is also an artifact of general weight loss, even when people are implementing fairly good exercise programs. Now, there's some data that suggests you can completely stop that muscle loss by simply incorporating, you know, some pretty intense resistance training and exercise during the course of your weight loss efforts. But for the most part, most people are going to lose some muscle mass. I'd rather lose 10% than 25%.
Absolutely.
Which is what we see in standard dieting.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me put that in a slightly different way. So what we're saying is that if we have the equivalent of a 500 calorie deficit by dieting a little bit each and every day, by cutting calories a little bit each and every day, versus having the exact same calorie deficit only compressed into 2 fasting days during the week, then we will basically lose more weight in the form of fat and retain more muscle mass. So that's what we're saying, is the same calorie deficit from 2 different approaches resulting in two totally different outcomes as far as muscle mass is concerned.
Right. And the level of comfort that happens between fasting and conventional dieting, you know, day in, day out, always mm-hmm. trying to work for that deficit is a lot. It's just much more comfortable.
You know, what's interesting is a lot of people, when they are doing fasting, they report feeling more energetic and yes. more clear thinking. And that's another thing that people notice is that they start to their thinking clears up.
Yeah. And I think that's amazing. And, you know, I think part of that has to do with, and this is just from personally working with clients over the years, especially bodybuilders, like going way back, you know, 10, 15 years that I've been doing this, is people who cut out carbohydrates at dinner, let's just say. So I won't even just go as far as saying carbohydrates only. If they stop eating at 7 p.m., so they're potentially doing a fast. So a bodybuilder getting ready for a show, cutoff time is 7 p.m., and then you don't eat again until 9 or 10 a.m. So essentially, that's a fast. And they report feeling much more clear-headed. And I do think, you know, then they, let's just say, then the next day they go and say, well, it's my cheat meal, I'm going to go have pizza. And then the next morning they wake up feeling completely lethargic. It's that plethora of calories and the high carbs and the high fats that refeeds their muscles, but it leaves you feeling a little cloudy. So I think the intermittent fasting really clears that up. And not only do we feel better and think better, but we respond faster. You know, we end up just, like you said, thinking so much more clearly. I think that that's one of the least talked about benefits of fasting.
Right. And it didn't make the list today, but it should have, you know, and one other thing that should have made the list, which is right up that same line, is the fact that when you're fasting, it conserves willpower. And you might think the opposite yes. would be true, but it's not, because you wake up and you've got one directive, just don't eat.
Right.
And so you don't have to think, well, what should I eat this morning? You know, the average person has over 200 food decisions throughout the course of a day. When you're fasting, you've got zero food decisions. You just don't eat.
It eliminates a stress.
Yeah, it certainly does, and leaves willpower for other things, which may explain why some people are also more clearer thinking throughout the day as well.
Mm, yeah.
Benefit number five is, it's super, super, super simple. Don't eat on fasting days. Eat normally on non-fasting days. You know, we were going to start this podcast episode with a mailbag, right? With a questions and yes. answers, which I apologize, Blythe. I totally forgot to jump into that okay. before I went into
talking. We're going to have a whole podcast on mailbag.
We'll just do a whole podcast on mailbag next, yes. And you know, a lot of the questions that people ask are really getting into intricacies, right? They're getting into things like, can I eat this or can I eat this? Should I exercise, you know, with this much? Should I increase my exercise to this much time or this much time? Should I do this specific exercise or that specific exercise? There's a lot of complexity to trying to lose weight using a conventional model of weight loss. Fasting is simple. Just don't eat on some days. Eat normally on others.
Right. And by normally, we mean making healthy, good, whole food choices.
Right. You know, just eat responsibly. You know,
yes.
This is the only time you'll hear us, you know, really use the term eat in moderation, right?
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Moderation, not a favorite word, but yes.
Not a favorite word, but eat in moderation is probably a good way to describe how you eat on non-fasting days. It's, you know, try to eat real food, but hey, if you want to have some pizza, you can have some pizza. That's the benefit of fasting, is it simplifies things where you don't have to be counting every single tiny little morsel of tasty treat or carby food that you're eating. With intermittent fasting, the fasting does the work. You just eat normally, like a normal person on the other days. And that can include things that, you know, are higher starch, even some things that are higher sugar. You don't have to obsess so much about what you're eating when you're doing a fasting type approach. And what I'm meaning is, during the non-fasting days, you don't have to obsess about everything.
Right.
That's what makes fasting such a useful approach.
Right. And I just want to highlight that, you know, if we can eliminate some of the guilt feelings, some of the stressful feelings that come from the guilt that you have after eating something, if you can eliminate that, that's also going to work in your favor. you know, not feeling guilty every time you have a Hershey Kiss or a slice of pizza. You know, if you can save that for your non-fasting days, let go of that guilt. Let go of the thought that it's labeled good or bad. You know, it's a non-fasting day. Eat responsibly.
Yeah, it's like swimming in an ocean full of sharks with no teeth.
I love it.
They bite you, it might be an annoyance, but it's not going to kill you. So it's the same thing with when you do fasting, it's like detoothing all the sharks that swim around us in the form of tasty treats and things like that. You can eat pizza, you can eat a burger, you can do things like that as long as you're eating what would be considered a normal portion, a normal healthy regular portion for you. So the reason we bring that up is because oftentimes people, when they do the fast, so they do a 24-hour fast, and then they the way they break their fast is by eating twice the normal amount of food that they would normally eat. When you're thinking about fasting, you just think fast for your period of time, whether it's 16 hours, 24, 36 hours, or whatever, and then your first meal is a normal meal. It's not two hamburgers if you would normally eat one. It's not a whole pizza if you would normally eat three slices. You just eat like you would as though you were not fasting.
Perfect. I think that's simply put.
Okay, next.
So benefit number six, fasting is restorative and can reverse premature aging, which we touched on before. Fasting is one of the best and fastest ways to purge the body of old and damaged cells, metabolic trash, and while restoring hormonal balance, which is key here, and stimulating the mitochondrial health for a healthier overall metabolism. And this is something that I know you've been doing a lot of research on, mitochondrial health and purging the body of old damaged cells.
Yes. So
intermittent fasting is something that can just help expedite that process and really kick things into gear.
Right. So fasting triggers a process within the body called apoptosis, which is a process of cellular suicide. So you have a bunch of damaged cells that should not be there. They're old, they're damaged, they're not terribly useful anymore. And because of that, they should go and kill themselves in the body, that is, these cells. So, but sometimes they don't. And so especially in an environment where we are constantly eating calories. And in this situation, what fasting does is it triggers the process of apoptosis, which gets rid of these damaged and old cells that aren't doing the body good. So that's a huge benefit. The other thing is it also gets rid of the old damaged cellular organelles. So within your cells, you have organs, these little things that we call organelles that make the cell function. Mitochondria are a very good example. That is the thing that powers the cell. Well, they become dysfunctional over time. And fasting helps us to get rid of those dysfunctional mitochondria and produce new healthy mitochondria so that our metabolism burns stronger. So all of these things happen when we do fasting. And so it can literally, you know, when we say reverse premature aging, I literally mean it can reverse the premature aging. So if you're 30 years old, living in a 50-year-old body, you can get that 30-year-old body back. You know, if you are 80 years old, living in a 120-year-old body, you could bring it back to 80 and maybe even get a few extra years back to be, you know, somebody to have the body, metabolism, and health of somebody who's 20 or even 30 years younger than you. So
we all aspire to be younger.
Yes, we all do, especially body. Once you cross that 40 mark, right?
You and I both know.
Okay, so all right, so those are the six benefits that we want to talk about. And there are more, guys. There are more benefits to doing fasting when it's done properly. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, the types of questions we get about doing fasting properly.
Right. We get a lot of questions about, well, if I've been fasting for 12 hours, let's just say somebody stops eating at 8 p.m. and they wake up at 8 a.m. and they like to have their morning cup of coffee and they put almond milk or creamer or MCT oil in it, or they want to go work out at 8:30 in the morning and they've been fasting for 12 hours. Should I have a protein only shake? Should I have collagen? Should I have, people are always asking these types of questions. And the answer is, if you're fasting, then fast. That means no protein bars, no protein shakes, no keto shakes, no butter or MCT oil in your coffee.
Exogenous ketones.
Yes. Water and black coffee is really the only thing that will not break the fast. And that includes, and I'm going to throw this in there, it's not in the list that we have, but adding branched chain amino acids, because they typically, you know, the ones I use anyway, and the ones that are, there are a million of them out there on the market, have flavorings and things like that in them that can maybe not completely break the fast, but can take you out of that fasting state. And right. if you're going to fast and you're committed to fasting, avoid everything but water, and plain black coffee would fall into that category.
Or tea, unsweetened, or tea. Uncreamed tea would probably
just
fall into that mix too.
With the tea bag inside, or
yes,
water
exactly.
with the coffee inside. Yeah.
And, you know, there's even a school of thought that is dry, what's called dry fasting, where at least after dinner, you would not even drink water until the morning when you wake up. And there's that, and you hear that described more in the anti-aging community as far as the benefits of fasting for anti-aging, not so much for the weight loss community. I think it probably doesn't really make much of a difference as far as weight loss is concerned. But when we're talking about, you know, stimulating apoptosis within the body, then dry fasting could be a tool that could be incorporated for that. Just ignore that advice. Just stick to water and black coffee and tea, and don't drink anything else. Don't add anything into those things, and let your body have a total vacation from all forms of calories. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So and again, that's one of the problems. One of the benefits we described is the simplicity of fasting. When we start to talk about all of these different things that make it more complex, it takes away that benefit. And that, by the way, is probably the most important benefit associated with intermittent fasting, is the simplicity of it. So if we remove that, it then just becomes like a regular diet that you have to kind of start thinking about all these different rules. The only rule is, when you're fasting, fast. Don't eat anything. Don't add anything into your water or to your black coffee. Just keep it simple.
Yeah. And I think that's a really, really important tip for our listeners, because for whatever reason, we tend to want to complicate things and ask all the, okay, that sounds good, but what if? Mm-hmm. And then we add in, you know, what if I do this? What if I do that? And then that starts that whole concerning part, you know, the whole worrying and having to make all these decisions. If you're fasting, just fast. When you eat real food. So when you're not fasting, eat real food. Keep your diet low glycemic and healthy when you're not fasting. This will dramatically improve the results that you're going to see and feel.
Right. And as we said previously, you know, fasting, the simplicity of fasting is you don't have to obsess about everything that you're eating. So you think healthy, hey, eat healthy foods, but if you want to have some pizza, go have some pizza. If you want to have a burger, go have a burger. If you're doing the fasting, let the fasting do the work. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, when you're eating, just try to, you know, just don't be weird with your
right.
food, right? Eat low.
Make healthy choices. Yeah, make healthy choices because they make you feel good, not because you feel you have to.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then you've got to really watch out for the halo effect, right? We've talked mm-hmm. about the halo effect in the past. That's when you do something good. Let's say you go for a jog. And then in your mind, whether consciously or subconsciously, you think, oh, I exercised. Therefore, I deserve to eat this piece of cake.
Right.
Right. And so with fasting, it's very, very common for people to leave with the halo effect, saying, I fasted for 24 hours, yay me, let me go and eat a whole pizza pie. And so you've got to be really careful about that, because there is a percentage of the population, we don't have numbers, but there's, let's just say, a percentage of the population who have a tendency to binge when using intermittent fasting. And it negates the caloric deficit that they get from the fasting itself. And so they do not respond to the benefits associated with fasting, right?
Right. So my piece of advice for that would be, you don't want to bog down your system after you've had a good fast, a good kind of clean out where you're thinking clearly, you're feeling great. You don't want to bog down your system with a bunch of garbage. And I was going to add something else. Oh, okay. So if we're feeling like you deserve something because you've done well, try thinking in the mind frame of, so I did the fasting. I want to reap the rewards for that. I deserve to treat my body better. And by treating your body better would be, don't go have pizza 3 times a day on your non-fasting day. Back to eating responsibly. Don't feel like you're going to completely, you have to give up these things, because we want to allow you to feel like you don't have to white knuckle your way through life. But we also want you to enjoy the feeling of feeling refreshed and rejuvenated from the fast.
Right. I like to think of it as a hard takeoff, soft landing. So the hard takeoff is you just abruptly stop eating food. The soft landing is you don't go right back to eating standard American, right. Or, whatever standard Australian or standard German or whatever, the food is that you normally would be chomping on, like a whole pizza pie, don't go crazy. Again, it just comes back down to that.
Yeah.
All right. So the final thing is that some people who have metabolic problems like low thyroid or PCOS, they sometimes do not respond well to just jumping right into fasting. For that group of people, it's usually a good idea to really take an aggressive stance with treating the problem at hand and then move into fasting as a tool a little bit later. So I don't want to dissuade you from trying it if you're dealing with these things, because some people will respond even with these conditions, and it can actually sometimes make the conditions better, like with PCOS, where there's a lot of insulin resistance involved in that condition. Sometimes fasting will be a useful tool because it'll enhance the insulin sensitivity and make the condition less aggressive or less problematic. But if you do fasting and things don't seem to be getting better, don't continue to do it at this point. And it's not that fasting is something that doesn't work, or even that doesn't work for you. It's that it doesn't work for you right now. And you've got to look to other strategies and other techniques before you use fasting as a tool. Just think of it like that.
So fasting could be used later on. Something I wanted to mention when we were back at talking about the halo effect. If you try to do a 24-hour fast and you find that every time you do a 24-hour fast, you end up overcompensating with calories the very first meal you have, then maybe back it off. Back it off a little bit to a 16-hour fast. Maybe begin with a 12-hour fast and then build on that.
Or maybe do the 5-2 approach, where you can allow for 500 to 600 calories of fruits and vegetables during the fasting days. And on the non-fasting days, you just eat normally.
Eat normally. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll slow the process down. Like, for example, intermittent fasting results, if you just do fasting intermittent, let's say twice a week, you can expect a 0.5 pound of fat loss during each week when you're doing that. What's interesting is that with fasting, oftentimes you don't get that plateau effect normally that you normally see with dieting. But if you do the alternate day fasting, well, that's been proven to speed up the process a little bit, where you're fasting every other day, you could get that 1.65 pound per week fat loss, which is a little bit more aggressive than what you see with just intermittent fasting, where it's done just a couple times a week. Right. So you can just experiment with the protocols that you use. Fasting, there are a couple different ways that you can look at it. As we described, 500 to 600 calorie fast is a form of fasting to the body. So is not eating anything. That's, I think, is the better approach for a lot of people. But for some of you, you will need to incorporate the 500 to 600 calories on the non-fasting day, on the fasting days, just to prevent you from, your metabolism
going
from
crazy.
Really putting on a big protest. So, right. And your diabetics would probably fall into that mix. If you're diabetic, you got to use fasting very cautiously, because your body is not good at shifting from sugar burning to fat burning. It really has great difficulty with that. And that's another reason why diabetics sometimes run into problems with fasting. So you may do better with a 5-2 approach where you're doing that 500 to 600 calories. And then one day you may graduate to a 16-hour fast and then to a 24-hour fast.
Right. And I do want to mention just very quickly before we finish up here that losing half a pound of body fat a week or 1 pound of body fat a week is amazing. 1 pound of body fat equates to 2 pounds of weight loss. So although it may not show on the scale because maybe you're putting on muscle, but you lose half a pound of body fat each week, you're making a huge dent. And I don't want anybody here to discount the fact that losing a half a percent or a half a pound of body fat a week is a huge, huge accomplishment.
Right. The only reason it doesn't sound like that is because you've been sold a bill of goods. Let me ask you, Blythe, would you rather lose 1 pound of fat or 20 pounds of fat? Let me just ask the question like that. Would you rather lose 1 pound of fat or 20 pounds of fat in let's say, a 1 month period?
Well, 1 pound, because if you lose 20 pounds, something's wrong. And it's not going, it's not going to last. I mean, that just
don't steal
happen.
My sunshine. I want you to say 20. Hey, Blythe, okay, would you rather lose 1 pound of fat or 20 pounds of fat?
I would rather lose 20 pounds.
Okay, well, what if I said you could lose 1 pound of fat in a month permanently or 20 pounds of fat for 2 weeks and then it all comes back?
Yeah.
It's all relative, right?
It's all relative. It's all relative. And slow and steady wins the race. I cannot beat that dead horse enough.
It truly and honestly does. It truly and honestly does. All right, guys, that's it for today. Check us out on Facebook, Cut the Fat Podcast. The search is there. We do our 60-day weight loss challenge every 60 days or so. So if you are interested in that, just go to our website, cutthefatpodcast.com, and sign up for our newsletter, and we'll alert you when it's time for the next one, and you can hop on there. It's really an accountability group. It's a group that we kind of go through, and every week, Blythe and I get on Facebook Live, answer all of your questions, and you do your weigh-in every Monday, and throughout the week, you post your questions in the Facebook group, and we help answer those. You get support from other people who are on exactly the same journey. It's no miracle. I will say that it's a process. It's just a stake in the sand, if you will, that you are ready to make the changes that you say you want to make, and that's, I think, the most important factor with our weight loss group. So, if you're interested, go to cutthefatpodcast.com and sign up there. What's next, Blythe?
What am I missing? That's about. Oh, you know what? You guys can find us on Instagram. We're Cut the Fat Podcast, or is it? No, it's Cut the Fat Podcast on Instagram. We've got some fun stuff there. I post recipes. If you guys haven't yet checked out our Cut the Fat Podcast website, we do have a blog section that has loads of recipes, great articles, lots of free information out there, guys. And our next challenge will begin July 2019. I'm not sure when you guys are listening, but if it's before July 2019 and you're listening to this podcast, log on to cutthefatpodcast.com. Click on the coaching club and you can sign up to be notified when it's about to go down.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next time here on Cut the Fat Podcast.
Bye, guys.